Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in Solihull, England. Today we have another message in the series, Miracles of Jesus Mentioned Once in the Gospels, and it is the healing of a blind man brought to Jesus when he was in Bethsaida. It is unique because it took place in two stages. Everything about Jesus is wonderful, and we think you will find Morris Payne's talk on this unusual miracle a help and a blessing to you. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and singers. Stay tuned for today's message.
The healing of the blind man at Bethsaida is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8.
They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." That's Mark 8, 22-26.
Jesus healed the man in two stages, and it is this that makes the miracle unique. Maybe it was this feature that caused Mark to include it, and he's the only one who does, in his gospel. There are similarities between the healing of this man, that of the man born blind in John's Gospel, chapter 9, and also the deaf mute, recorded by Mark a few verses earlier. The Lord healed the deaf mute first by taking him aside from the crowd, then putting his fingers in the man's ears, spitting and touching the man's tongue. That healing was instant. And the man blind from birth was similarly healed when Jesus made mud with saliva and put it on his sightless eyes. But again, it was when that man went in obedience to the pool of Siloam and washed off the mud that he came home seeing. His healing was instant. Now, in this miracle of the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida, it begins with some people bringing him and begging Jesus to touch him and heal him. We understand Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Then when he spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked the man if he saw anything. The man looked up, and as you heard, he said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Now, obviously, the healing was not complete. So once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes and they were opened. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. And this short description concludes with Jesus sending the man home and saying, "Don't go into the village." So the thing that fascinates us about this miracle is that Jesus healed the man in two stages. We need to note at the very outset that God's ways are not our ways. And the manner of his working and the timing of this are not predictable. Listen to what Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans.
"Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments, and his paths beyond tracing out. Romans 11:33.
Now, it's important to note that what happened to this blind man at Bethsaida was in answer to prayer. We read, some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. We're not told to what extent the blind man acquiesced to the demands of his friends. We do know that his friends begged Jesus to touch the man, and that word begging describes an earnest and repeated intercession. Then we should note that the intercession was supported by faith. These people didn't come to Jesus to inquire whether he might be able to help them or at what time or place their friend could be brought for Jesus to heal him. They went ahead and came with the blind man. This was their step of faith. Prayer needs to be believing prayer. Do you remember what Jesus said?
If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Matthew 21:22.
And again, Jesus said,
ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7.
It's the continual asking, seeking and knocking that gains the answer to our request. And when we pray in faith, we must be ready to take the step of faith that is required of us if we would see the answer to our prayer. After all, it is unlikely or less likely that the man would have been healed of his blindness if his friends hadn't brought him to Jesus. This wasn't the case of Jairus' daughter, where the little girl lay ill at home and could not be brought. And so, just as on another occasion the four brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus and let him down through the roof, so these men in Mark chapter 8 brought their blind friend and pleaded with Jesus to heal him. You know, when you think about it, it's wonderful when others take an interest in your need and pray and plead on your behalf. Other examples of action can be seen in the woman who, having suffered from hemorrhage many years, said that if she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. She acted on her conviction. She came in the crowd, albeit behind Jesus, touched his garment, and was made whole. How many have had that experience over the years, reaching out in faith and touching Jesus? Now, we think also of the two blind men who were crying out to Jesus, kept crying for their healing and followed him into the house, interrupting his rest and even intruding upon his privacy until they received what they wanted. Then there was Bartimaeus sitting at the wayside outside the city of Jericho. You remember him? When he heard that Jesus was passing by, he immediately responded by crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. His conviction was so strong that he wouldn't give up, and his persistent faith obtained for him the healing he sought. So it's important, therefore, to notice that the miracle we are studying today about the blind man at Bethsaida took place because his friends prayed and pleaded and interceded on his behalf. What a lesson for us in the ministry God gives us to pray and intercede for others. Now, what happened was unexpected. Jesus didn't act as they expected. At other times, he'd taken people by the hand when he healed them. This happened in the case of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick and unable to attend to them when they visited her home. Or again, there was Jairus' daughter, that little girl of 12. When Jesus entered her room, he took her by the hand. And in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, we read of Jesus touching the leper and immediately healing him. And we've also mentioned the man brought by his four friends. And with him we can link the demoniac in the region of Gadara. These were healed when Jesus spoke the word. And how about the 10 lepers who came to Jesus for healing? They were told to go and to show themselves to the priests. The centurion who pleaded with Jesus to come and heal his boy was told in John's Gospel to go home because the boy was already healed. And we get that wonderful description of the man believing the word of Jesus. When he got home, he found his son was healed. Yet here at Bethsaida, the manner of healing was quite unexpected. It was spread over at least two stages. Now, God always does things for our good. It's important to note that although God often takes us by surprise, and although his ways are unexpected and the depths of his workings unfathomable, he always does things for our good. In Psalm 84 and verse 11 we read,
"No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless.
He guides us in paths of righteousness," as it says in the 23rd Psalm. That is to say, right paths for his name's sake. God does not merely do good, God is good. All goodness resides in him. He deals with us individually, and the dealing and individual attention he gives is always for our good. You may not understand sometimes what God is doing in your case, but you can be sure of this, he's doing it for your good. You see, he knows us from birth. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 22?
"From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God."
And then there's a verse in the book of Job which says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. He gives, he takes away." When we appreciate that the very breath we breathe is given us by the Lord, then we realize that because he only does what is good, all through our life, that which befalls us is part of his plan for our good. He knows our capabilities too. Listen to the psalmist's words in the 103rd Psalm.
"He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Verse 14.
We often underestimate or mistake our own and each other's ability, but the Lord knows just what we can do. What a wonderful Lord and Saviour we have. He knows what we are capable of, and he always does things for our good. He knows the dangers we have to face. He goes ahead and prepares the way. He smooths the path. He eases the burden. He lightens the load. Or as we read in the 23rd Psalm,
"Your rod and your staff, they comfort me."
Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he tells us in John's Gospel that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He knows our desires. Listen to this verse in the 37th Psalm.
"Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart."
It's a great mistake to think that God forces upon us what we do not want. When he gives us a new heart, he gives us new loves and new desires, godly loves and godly desires, and our delight is in him. And then he knows our need. You will remember that verse in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi.
"My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, verse 19.
We may draw on this inexhaustible supply, knowing it will never be diminished. When talking about our need for food and drink and what we wear, Jesus said, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need them." We must realize that God knows even those needs of which we are completely ignorant. He knows and he meets all our needs. And then he's able to save, able to keep, able to present us faultless before his Father's throne. We need to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. If we allow patience to have its perfect work in our lives, we shall one day see the way in which all God gave us, the way he has taken us, and everything that has befallen us in life's way was for our good. As we look back upon this blind man's experience, we may wonder whether he was not born in that condition in order that he might come to a place of trust and receive from Jesus the healing he desired. Had he not been born blind, his friends might never have brought him, nor might he ever have come himself to meet the Saviour. Now many of you will no doubt testify that the things which you feared as the greatest difficulty or problem or distress in your past life became the greatest blessing under the hand of God. More good comes through suffering, you know, than through ease, and we should try to see what is for our good in every eventuality that comes to us in the plan of God for our lives. Now God's work continues all through our life. Look at the four steps in this man's healing and the path Jesus followed to answer the pleading of those people who brought the blind man to him. First, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. We need have no doubt that this man needed to get away from the noise and bustle of village life, for remember, he could only hear, he couldn't see. Do you remember that occasion when Jesus visited the family home of Lazarus and Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made? She didn't have time, or so she thought, to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. She's like so many today, who know the Lord, but who seemingly do not have time to stop and worship him. Even in church or fellowship life, many can be found who are just as busy as Martha was. The first step in the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida is very important. On another occasion, when his disciples were weary, Jesus said,
"Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Mark 6, verse 31.
And in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts us when we pray to go into our room, close the door, and pray to our Father who is unseen. There should be times when we leave the main thoroughfare of life and get alone with God. We read that Jesus got up very early in the morning while it was still dark and went off to a solitary place to pray. The way to receive power in a Christian life is waiting before the Lord alone in his presence, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that God would give you. And then Jesus spat on the man's eyes and touched him. We see here the value of saliva as a support for this man's faith. Saliva was considered in the East in those days to have healing value. And we can see this even today when we moisten a handkerchief with the tongue and apply it to a wound. In the Old Testament, there was the anointing oil upon all utensils that were used in the tent, tabernacle, and later the temple. And in the New Testament, you know, we read of anointed handkerchiefs and aprons which were used to convey healing to those in need. The priest in the Old Testament, and now all serving the Lord, have an assurance which John brings to us in his first epistle. You have an anointing from the Holy One. We are in need of an anointing, such as is typified here as Jesus spat on the man's eyes and touched him. We need a touch from the Lord, even today. Later on, John writes, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And also, his anointing teaches you about all things. Too often, we go forward in our own strength without that anointing, forgetting the words of Jesus, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, the third thing was, Jesus gave a second touch. Once more, Jesus put his hands on this man's eyes. He asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he said, "I see men like trees walking." The first touch awakened the man's faith to an awareness of what God could do. Now his little faith was growing into great faith. Jesus knew what was happening. That's why he asked him if he could see anything. And we like that the man honestly replied, "I see people, they look like trees walking around." He wasn't content with this. We shouldn't be content with half a miracle. This partial healing wasn't in the plan of God for him. We commend this man. He might so easily have said, "It's so much better to see even a little, thank you very much," and gone his way, but he didn't. If the Lord Jesus heals you, you don't need to be asked, "How are you?" when you say, "I'm a little better." He sought and needed a second touch from the Lord. God's work in any life is not often a one-off thing. We need him to touch us again and again. And then, this man was sent home. This was a little unusual. Jesus sent the man home and told him not to go into the village. It may well be that had he gone into the village and shared his experience with all and sundry, the personal wonder and blessing that was his would have been lost. Some gifts the Lord gives us are so precious, they're not to be shared. In Matthew's Gospel, we read these words that Jesus said,
"Do not throw your pearls to pigs." Matthew 7, verse 6.
Some people will not understand what the Lord has done for you. They certainly won't know the fragrance and beauty of the Lord Jesus. These are known only to those who walk closely with him. So we find in Matthew's Gospel that when Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus warned him or the disciples not to tell any man that he was the Christ. And again, you remember, as they came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. God may give you a peculiar and special blessing, a revelation, an experience in the Holy Spirit, a joy in the Lord, a miraculous experience, and tell you to leave quietly, to go home, enjoy the blessing you've received, dwell upon it, just as this man was told to do. Now, in conclusion, in our Christian experience, are we seeing men as trees walking? Is it as though we are looking through frosted or opaque glass? Have we had the first insight into the revelation of God's love and wonder, but advanced no further? Have we been shown what the Lord would do with and in us, but not followed it up? This man's progression was quite exemplary. We are not at all sure whether his friends brought him against his wishes, but soon Jesus was taking him out of the busy village into a place of quiet where God could speak to him. Jesus touched his eyes and by so doing incited faith in this man for something greater. The Christian life is a progression, you know. And God's blessing to you today can be the beginning of a greater blessing that will continue tomorrow. We need the Lord to touch us again. Wherever we are in our Christian journey, there is the danger that we stagnate. We must never be content with a partial healing or deliverance. Seeing men as trees walking is not what God would have. A few drops of blessing must point us to a great deluge that God will pour upon us. Now, in your situation where you are, you who know the way you take, you who know the problems and difficulties, you who have to face the hardships of everyday circumstances around you. Remember, Jesus said those who bear fruit, the Father will prune that they may bring forth more fruit. God wants to bring forth more fruit in your life. When the Lord asked this man whether he saw aught, it was that he might lead him into a place of full vision. We all need to respond positively when the Lord speaks to us and know he is leading us into a similar place of blessing.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Every day when you pray, say Father."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.